Accession number 12716, Mr. J. Coughlin, Reel 4.
Mr. J. Coughlin, Reel 4. You were a motorised division, Mr. Coughlin.
Yes.
Did you start off with sufficient army transport, or did you have to commandeer any from civilians?
We did, not before we went to France, after we come back from France. But all our, it was all army stuff before we went to France and chipping out, and it was all, well, it's what the territorial transports, you know, what they'd motorised, whatever they wanted in, you know, in trucks and vans, whatever it was, you know, and pickups and that. And when we went down to Chipping North, they all went with us, like, you know. When we went in civilians is when we come back from France, see? They would accommodate, we had a lot of civilian vans then until we got, you know, the army vehicles, yes.
Did that influence your training at all? What kind of training were you going to?
Well, that was the training at Chipping North. Well, it was all more or less rope marches and bayonet charging and what you might as well call general knowledge and everything, you know, everything that rope marching, endurance tests. Well, like an ordinary infantryman, like that, we have to go through, like the what you call to get your proficiency pay, you know, to be a proficient soldier, like, you know. Well, more or less, always out every day in the field doing something, you understand what I mean?
You hadn't at this stage to practice getting into enough trucks fast and then getting into position.
We used to march, like, you know, biggest part. Sometimes if you marched too far, the trucks used to come back and pick it, go up and wait and then bring you back. You had to march one way and then driven out the other way, or march there and driven back, or the opposite way about. You understand what I mean? It was too far, you know.
If you were marching, was it light infantry pace?
Well, you couldn't keep that up, could you? Like, you know, you had to drop it down a purse, like when you've got your packs and your, what you call your full pack, like, and your rifle and that. Yeah, you did like a ceremonial prayer. It's like running, like running and walking, like running. Wouldn't written 80 to the prolong, could you? Like, where you put all your gear on, with all your packs and your rifle and your bayonet and water bottle and everything, like, of course, you had to go do it in full pack, naturally on training. Because when you went into action, that's how you went in, so you had to be fit enough to carry it all and go in, hadn't you? Like, you know, so.
Did you feel that you were getting quite fit?
Oh, I was very fit. Well, a lot better than 95% of us were, because let's be honest, we're all young lads. There wasn't, in my platoon, like, there wasn't many over 23 or 24, like, I was, a lot of us 19 and 20 at the beginning of the war, like, because before we left Bishop, you know, before we ever went, they sorted all the old-timers out, like, they had we got to Chipping Norton, like, we were reinforced by a lot of Shropshire Light Infantry to make up the battalion, you know, they were all National Service lads. All from round Birmingham way, Bromwich way.
These were to replace men.
They were a replacement for them that would have to clean out. That were too old for service. You know what I mean? Or some of them were disabled, Class B or Class C. Because you had a lot of people weren't what you call fit in the Territorial Army. Some of them were too old for action anyhow. Some of them were in the 40s and 50s. Some of them were in when war broke out. Like.
Did you lose any men who were key workers that had to be taken back out of the army and put back into civilian street at this time?
Well, see, when the war broke out, big parade, I can remember a big parade around the drill hall, all the battalions and all the companies, and they asked any man that worked down the pit, well, they asked them to take a pace forward. And when they took a pace forward, they asked them, did they want to get out of the army on Z reserve, or them that didn't want to take a pace back into the ranks, like, and them that did, we did automatically, more or less, within a week, we discharged them down the pits on Z reserve. But a lot stepped back, they didn't know what was happening, so they just says, we'll walk down the fence, just take a pace for it. And them that didn't want to come out of the army, take a pace back, go back into the ranks. So they selected it from there. And then again, they come round, and anybody that could drive a wagon or a car, anybody hold a license, step forward. Because, see, they wanted men then to train them for the transport. There wasn't enough drivers, you know, for the transport they had.
What kind of transport did you have?
3 tonners and them 1,500 weights, Bedfords. You know, no cab on, just the glass front. The 3 tonners were, for transport carriers, and the 15 were like for sex, you know, for little, we had little anti-aircraft with grenade guns on the back, you know, for protection of the convoy, you know what I mean? The little 1,500 weight with a Bren gun on. That was what they called the ACAC section. And when you moved anywhere, they were in front or behind it. So, you know, whatever they were for low-flying aircraft, supposed to be. Like, you know, I don't think they'd ever hit anyone. Like, you know, that's my candid opinion. I don't think we're ever attacked to that in this country, anyhow.
What kind of duties were you doing down in... Were you doing guard duties, that kind of thing?
Oh, they were guard duty, and a night picket. They always did a night picket, you know, on the transport, or a night picket. Sometimes you only have the pick shaft, you know. No rifles, just the pick shaft. But on the guard duty is the HQ, it was rifles, like, and, you know, Bernard. Proper. You had the, it was all a cinema parade before you went on, but the picket on the round transport, you only carried a pick shaft, say, for protection of the sabotage on the transport or any vehicles there was, like, you know, in the camp.
Were there any attempts to break in and interfere with things?
There's been a lot of attempts to break in the coke house and have it on the ration stores, naturally. When blokes got hungry, they got to be drinking away, they had to break in and go and pinch someone out of the coke or someone like that, and that's the it happens in all units, like, you know. I used to pinch a bit of sausage or a bit of, you know, fried on the stove inside.
Can you describe to me how a guard was formed?
Well, if it was for battalion headquarters, you used to get what you call 6 men or 8 men, and you used to win the stick. You used to have the odd man and the best dressed soldier. After the duty officer come round and inspected you, he used to fall out. He had to fall out. You were supposed to be the colonel's runner for the day. You understand what I mean? You were still there, but you didn't do any guards. You didn't do any night duty. You just walked about in your belt and bayonet in the guard room with like a Horley. That was the best dressed man on guard. Duty officer used to come round and inspect you, and he'd inspect you all standing line, all dressed up, you know, with your boots polished, everything, and he'd just tell you, take a pace forward or wherever you were, like private, you know, the stick. Well, you used to just turn around, dismiss. You used to go back to the guard and take your rifle and bayonet off, and all you used to run around with your bayonet, you know, your bayonet.
So there'd be quite a bit of competition to
play. Oh, definitely. You had to pack up to be right. Your boots used to be shining. You could comb your hair through some of the boots, I'll tell you that now. That was when you were back in, you know, back from where we're from the lines, like, you know, when you weren't just like going ordinary, when, you know, you know, such a stick then when you were up in action or in foreign countries, like, you were just more or less, that was back in England, like, you know, for down at Chipping Norton and there, they used to win the stick, win the guard.
How long did a guard last?
It was 12. You used to have two on, you used to go on at 6, you know, because after he, Rivale, like not after you did about 5 o'clock in the dark till parade tent next morning. It's to do 2 hours on and 2 hours off. If there was 4 men on the guard, there'd be 2 hours on. Say it started at 6, you do 6 till 8, you would do. Then the other one will do 8 till 10, and then the other one will go 10 till 12, and they come to your turn, maybe 12 till 2, and then 2 till 4, and then 4 till 6. That was Rivale till Rivale the next morning.
Were you called out at any time?
Naturally. You had to be called out, and the duty officer used to come out to see if you were on the alert. You understand what I mean? Stand to the guard. You know what I mean? Or if you had to challenge anybody like that, if you knew the man, naturally, then go. But if anybody you didn't like, you had to challenge. Alto goes there. step forward to be recognised, you know what I mean? Sometimes if there was any disturbance, you weren't sent, you just sent for the sergeant of the guard and he'd call out the guard, you see, if there was any disturbance. Or the duty officer might come in and just shout, stand to the guard, and the sergeant would come up and call the guard, or the corporal, whatever it was, call, and he'd come down and inspect to see if you were alert, you understand what I mean? It might be 2 o'clock in the morning, might be just 10 o'clock at night, might be any, it could be any time to reveille in the morning, the duty officer could come and turn out the guard.
When you did challenge anyone, did they have a password or just give their name?
Well, abroad you had a password, but never had one in England that I know of. Because, see, we just used to shout, Alto goes there, come forward and be recognised. Then he took it up from there with the guard commander, you understand what I mean? He shouted him out then. And he'd go out and he'd do all the necessary details. Then you had to go, you know, keep guard, keep while he was doing all the necessary, the phone, and if there was any to think the phone or anybody to contact. Oh, but the sergeant, he was the, you know, the corporal, the guard, they were the main man, you know, because he used to march it out and change it over. He had to be up every watch, you know. The corporal of the guard, the sergeant of the guard, he used to take it out, march it out and change it over. And ask, and he sometimes, when he'll be standing there, just come out and just have a talk. Is everything all right? You know, hey, anything you've seen or anything suspicious, and then just go back in. Because the guard room was just like that. You could shout in the door, you know.
Were you just standing in that position?
I used to march for the full away. I couldn't stand all that time for 2 hours. It was a especially cold night. You could have thought you'd out to walk the distance to keep the circulation. Or you wouldn't. It's frozen, like, you know what I mean? For 2 hours, it's a long time to stand, isn't it? You could stand a day's like, you know, stand outside. If anybody comes, officer, anybody, I think, just stand of attention, like, come to attention. But otherwise, you'd be keep yourself warm, open, you know, alert.
Holding a rifle, obviously. Did you have to salute the officer? How did you salute the officer holding a rifle?
Right. Hand over, that's how I saluted
the officer.
Perhaps across the shoulder. That's how I saluted the officer. Anything above the thing, you had to present arms to him. Above a captain, a major, a colonel, you present arms. But if an officer used to just salute him that way as a passer, you know, if he was passing through the danger on guard, you just put your hand just like that, that's all. That was so you couldn't take your hand off your rifle, and, you know. That was the salute with your.
About your feeding, obviously you'd need meals whilst you were on guard. How did you get your meals?
With the meals. Well, we didn't forget. Well, when you went in off duty, you got it. Your 2 hours rest, you see what I mean?
Was it brought to you from the cookhouse?
Well, we'd already had our evening meal. You don't get anything after that. It's up to you if you bought anything or somebody had fetched something, didn't you? Like, but after that, no, not till breakfast next morning. See, because when we went on duty, you'd had your evening meal. You'd had your dinner, you know, your evening meal. At that time at night, half past 5 or 6 o'clock, you know, when you went on, like.
What kind of things were you doing?
You to get cocoa or coffee, like, or tea, you know, you could brew up in there, you know, in the guard room. But you'd have to get your own tea and that. You get nothing off the, you know, off the coat if you want.
When you weren't on duty, what were you doing? How did you fill your time in?
Off duty, when you're off duty.
When you're not standing at the in the position, when you're not actually on guard.
Well, you have to talk to yourself, more or less hum to yourself, sing to yourself, you know, anything to pass time away. I have to sing many a time. You know, just keep yourself, well, in other words, keep yourself awake. Because, see, 2 hours, you know.
And if you're in the guardhouse, what were you doing?
Well, you're supposed to be on alert, your doors and off naturally. You hadn't taken anything off, like, you just sat there or just lay there, just ready for action with your rifle against you. Just if anything happened, you were alert, see, to you wanted to, well, you were resting, you used to fall asleep naturally, but you had to be. Somebody was awake, understand the man. And I was the guard outside, the man that was guarding, I was shouted in, like, you know. You were there on your feet within a. You might be a little bit, a little like a bit hoarse, but you had your wits about you, understand what I mean? You had to have.
What was the procedure for standing down and changing the guard?
As I say, the court used to be standing there at the stand of attention, like again, they fetch the man out, walk in your position, change you, anything to report, and then you take over with the corporal or the sergeant of the guard there with you. You had to fetch the man out of the guard room.
And when your whole duty was finished, how did the new guard come on?
Well, he marched out and relieved you before you marched back into the guard room.
I'm thinking of when the whole of your guard duty is over, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no, well, if we finish at 6, you're allowed 2 hours off and you're back on duty then. You're allowed 2 hours rest. Then you were back ready for duties then.
And was there a ceremony for the changeover?
Pardon?
Was there a ceremony for the changeover?
The changing of the guard, yes. I had to come and change you, and we used to march off. They marched on, and we marched off, you know, just like we do it. But if there's three or four different guards, you used to march one guard there, and change him out, and the other one used to fall in there, and march in until changed all the three, and then we all used to march back into the guard room, and all the three of us were changing three guards with the guard commander. Oh, just like a ceremonial parade on a Buckingham Palace. It's all just the same, hand over. Oh, no different. It's all done, you know, that way.
Looking back at Chipping Norton, were there any events that stand out in your mind? Do you have, for example, any visitors from important people?
No, not very well. No, I can't remember any. There I remember of, there might have been some instances that I didn't know about, but not worth.
You didn't have the King down to see you?
No, not that I know of, that I can remember. Where did we have? We did have the King somewhere, but I was just trying to follow me out where it was. Yeah. Hey, where was it? I can't think now. We did have the King. I did a guard from Montgomery, and mind him, and you know, we did a guard of honour. Yeah, where was it? The King. Was it Chipping Norton? I think it might have been up there. Some of the other lads might have mentioned that Chipping Norton. I don't know.
Do you recall what time you started your move to France?
Well, I went down the train to Southampton. We sailed from Southampton. That's where we sailed from.
Does the journey stand out in your mind at all? From Chipping Norton to Southampton?
No, but I know it was very cold January we went. It was very cold morning, very frosty cold morning, wintry morning. It was one day in January, I couldn't tell you what day it was. It was a cold, very cold morning. We didn't go down the trucks, we went by train to the docks and unloaded at the docks and sailed from there to, I think it was Cherbourg or somewhere like that, Cherbourg, and disembark there, and we weren't long on the boat, mind you, like the 24s, and we were put into a train or a thing. I went up to a place called, into France, Mullions-Vidame.
What was your feelings about going abroad?
Well, I didn't fancy it, like everyone else, like, you know, you didn't know what we were letting ourselves for, what would they expect, like, you know, it was an experience in a way, like, it was really an experience. So, how old did you say? Yes, I was 20 year old then, wasn't I? 1940, yes, 20 year old, yes. I was 19. I'd have been 20 in the June. In the June, aye. 20 in the June. I was 19 year old then, yeah. Yes. When I first got to France, I'll tell you something now. I wish I was back home, because it wasn't a very, what they call, hygienic country in them days. I'll tell you something now. They were all dirty roads, and cows had been where they'd muck all over the road. There wasn't a lot of transport, it was all with the horse and cart and that and all. Well, to me, it stunk. That's give you the candid opinion of it, it did. Because the soldiers were poor, you know, and everything there. Sanitation was really bad. Ooh, and I went in an old barn there, was loaded with rats. All on the rafters, you could see. I would have to see them running around the top of the rafters all over.
What were you sleeping on?
On straw. Oh, an old barn, and it's stuck rotten, you know. It had never been lived in for, to me, it had never been painted a dampness, you know. I thought, this is a place to get malaria, to get bloody new money myself. I thought, like, you know, selling the grub wasn't so good, I'll tell you.
Had that changed from the food you'd had in England?
Oh, I had to change. The Russians weren't as good, you know. Because we hadn't the facilities that they had in England, you understand what I mean? There wasn't the facilities. There was nothing. Let's be honest, we hadn't a coup that had any diplomas or anything, there were anybody. Let's put it honestly. Now, the army, but still they had a camera catering corps, they did go to learn something, didn't they? But the coups we had, I wouldn't say they were, you know. Well, it's only natural they'd never been to a, what they picked up as they go along, like, you know. They could boil water, like, as I say. But as regards to making a decent meal, it was more or less stew, and that was rough.
How did you cope with living in those conditions? Did you try to improve them?
Well, naturally, you try to improve everything. You try to improve yourself. You try to make yourself a bit more comfortable than you can by, well, doing what you can, like, you know, keep yourself clean. One thing trying to do to make yourself feel healthy, not trying to, you know, keep yourself, your appearance and everything. Try and keep the clothes clean and everything, which I had to wash myself like, and keep everything, you know, trying to get as much underwear as you could, like, or anything that was, you know, buy little stuff of your own just to keep yourself for a change, you know, to change into.
How did you keep yourselves clean? What were the washing facilities like?
Well, you had to, there was no showers there or anything, just anything we could get out. We had ablutions, you know, just to wash ourselves the best way we could. If there was a river and it was warm weather, like Natsu were in there. Thing of those baths about, but as I told you before, in France the sanitation wasn't so good. The water was still a lot of the old, you know, there wasn't as many taps around as like there. In fact, a lot of houses didn't have taps. They had them pumps, still the old pumps.
How did the French treat you?
I went very well with French. I had no problems with the French, no problems whatsoever. In fact, I met a lot of fine French people. You know, it was like anything else, but you get a lot of awkward people in any town or every place you go to, but I never had any trouble with them. I don't think I had a fight or fall out with them at any time, because I think it was not able to speak the language so good. You don't know what they were saying, and I don't know what you were saying, so how could you fall out with them if they were calling you, you know what I mean? It takes them down to fall out with a Frenchman if you don't know what he's talking about, or you think the same with me. To fall out with an Englishman if I don't know what he understands what I'm saying.
So did you get invited into their homes at all?
Oh yes, yes. Oh, a lot of them. We've been back once or twice, like to the people, like, you know. Oh yeah, some of the farmhouses. Some of them weren't all in this band. Some of them were in farmhouses where they got very friendly with farmers and the families. You know what I mean? Because we used to go down to the farms and buy butter and that off them, you know, and milk. Because we never used to blow out any milk, you know, and then buy jugs of milk off them and that. Oh, they were very good that way. They'd sell you any milk. It was only about a franc or something like that, you know, a penny or something like that, for a pint of milk off them.
Accommodated in a rather dirty, rat-infested barn, had you any resentment towards the officers who would be living in the houses around?
Well, yeah, we always had a bit of resentment, but then again, what could we do about it? That's the trouble. You could complain, but they'd put you down as a troublemaker if you were the only one. The officers saw you only making a rack for your own back, because they would be straight at you, you know. And then you had to go through the sergeant, and the sergeant's office before you got there, and they might just tear it up. So it was a waste of time, in other words. You knew you were there to, yes, for a call. It was in the same boat, more or less, weren't they? Like, so what could we do?
You had difficulty washing, as you say, and finding places for washing. What about toiletry? How did you overcome that problem?
They were all dug in the ground, that's all. A piece of stick across, you know what I mean? And a bit of a hut put up. And they had buckets. There were buckets, like, you know. And they had to have a sanitary man. Your sanitary man used to burn it, like, you know what I mean? And they would clean it out every morning and put this lime in and what they call less than buckets, you know what I mean? The buckets we had, more or less. But for up the desert, like, it's just to, or in the line, end up in trenches, just dig a trench. Just put what you call, just use that with a bit of cover on, a bit of sack and anything around, you understand what I mean? Oh, they were crude. Oh, and you had to go out in the night, you know, when you go out at night and it was freezing. And when you got back into bed, you were frozen and all, you know what I mean? It was an endurance, I'll tell you. It was hard in the, you know. You might have to go top of the street to that stage, there was you know, you were in the billet. And you had to go, well, It was out of this world anyway. Sometimes to me, I have to think.
Were you still with the intelligence unit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was your training changing in any way? Were you doing anything different?
No. Because they found out like that. I don't think they didn't really need it on count, because it was an old-fashioned way. You know, there was no trenches to use the intelligence on. We trained for trench warfare before we went. You know, but we expected a lot of trench warfare. But in 1939, we weren't expecting as mobile as it was. We were expecting to be digging in like and doing like more or less trench war fighting like it was in 1914 war. But found out it was more motorised than we were, you know.
So the training you got wasn't particularly useful for what
it
came
wasn't. Afterwards. No, it didn't do it. No. I don't think I ever got. Well, it never come into operation. We never got chance. Because I was the only one, fortunately, there were six or seven of us, I was the only one that got away. Out the section. They were all took prisoner, all the intelligence. Bar the officer, the sergeant was, and all a few of my friends were. So it never got into operation. We never got it into operation. That was up at Dallas, up in Vimy Ridge, like, you know.
So Mullions Vidam, what was the battalion doing?
Well, they were going shooting, practicing to go, you know, a rope march and prayer, a shooting range and that. We weren't there so long, we were only about a month, if we were there. Then we moved up to a place called Hemron, outside of Lewes.
What were you doing there?
Just the same procedure. The mortars were learning to, you know, the mortars, and we were just keeping fit, ready to go into action, more or less, you know, for the thing. No, that's all we're doing at Hemron, just outside of Lille.
Did you get involved in digging this tank, anti-tank ditch, in that position?
No, we never got any. I never was all involved in tanks. We used to go down to Rouen to shoot our firing course on the sea and that, you know. Go down to a lot of places like that. But more again, keep fit. We're supposed to be trained soldiers, you understand what I mean? Weren't we ready, you know, when we've been in the territory. A lot of us trained, weren't ready for action. Well, we didn't need We didn't need the training what the recruits had like, as we've been at it. Some of them have been at it for 2 or 3 years, like, you know, well, they've been in the territorials, haven't they? Like, you know, they know what they were doing, more or less. And they had some old hands showing them what to do, like, you know. So we didn't need the training as like a recruits needed as a recruit. Just joined the army. When you joined the army, they wanted more training. Well, we were only in England about 3 September. We were only abroad, you know, in January, weren't we, like? So we're ready for that, for the fighting unit. Well, it was supposed to be anyhow, a division we were, like, a fighting division, like, you know, all territorials.
Have they increased the training with your motorised role in the sense that you're using...
The only thing it is, we were to get sometimes... When we went into action, we were mobile. We drove into action. We didn't walk into action. Well, we drove to near there, the front. Where before, you used to have to walk in. Well, we're more mobile that way, you understand what I mean? You weren't having to walk, because in the infantry, you used to have to walk into action. But no, we had the transport, what you call 3 tonners troop carriers, and little AWACAC trucks, and one thing and another, and ammunition trucks and everything, for cutting ammunition up. No, we drove into action, like.
This was the time of the phony war.
That's right.
Were there any... parachutist scares or...
No, there were no paratroopers in them days when I went 1940. There were no paratroopers that I know of. There were no paratroop regiment that I know of. There'd always be a bloody suicide squads like the SAS men. Like, you know, they always get them in every before we went. They always... Well, they come under the intelligent, don't they? They went and, well, reconnoitred the ground or whatever we were going, didn't they, to see everything was all right, yeah. Otherwise, we never had any what you call tank training. I hadn't anyhow. I don't think the battalion had.
Were you giving any lectures about what you could expect from the Germans?
Well, yeah, we got a lot of gas mask training, and one thing, learn how to fight and shoot with gas masks on, and what they expect of the one, you know, what to, you know, everything like his capabilities, our capabilities. Only everyday training to me, that was everyday training. We used to go and have lectures and all, right, and lectures. But the best thing is to keep, you to say, to keep you fit, to stop you from getting bored. I always had to be out doing something, no matter what it was, to get you doing something, keep you active.
Did you have any sport?
Always have a lot of sport. Oh, aye, boxing. Well, the swimming baths about if we got where there was anyone, or you know, I had to do a bit of boxing. I had to do a bit of boxing, a bit of football. It's like football, a bit of rugby. I never did any cricket because I was, but we did a lot of sport. Lumber gymnastics. Oh, I was having to do PT and that. You know, I used to like PT. I used to like anything like that to keep you, because that does keep you fit, mind. I used to like football. Oh yes, used to play a lot of rugby and all. And did you interfere with your duties? You didn't have to lay in fair with your duties after your duties were finished, you know what I mean? It was late in the afternoon when you went.